In today's consumer-based society, we're getting to the place where you no longer have to just buy what's available for you in the store. Oh, no, you don't have to take what's on the shelf. Just wait a day and we'll get it for you any size, shape, or color that you would like. We can get this for you heated up or cooled down. We can get it for you expanded. I mean, you know, some guy, you go to the drive-thru and, you know, what's, is it Burger King? Have it your way? I mean, you know, you can order whatever you want. One guy went through the drive-thru and he says, I would like some fries without ice. And they said, you want fries without ice? And he says, yeah, who puts ice on their fries? I don't want ice on my fries. Of course I don't want ice, you know. You can order things however you want in today's world. This idea in mentality that permeates society today, that the customer is always right, has gotten people convinced of the fact that they're always right regardless of the facts. They just tend to believe, well, the customer's always right, so I'm right, even if they're wrong. But in the drive and desire to make a buck, this mentality, providers, storefronts, and people that provide a service or a product, they realize that they need to make the customer happy. And if they're going to be successful, that's what they have to do. I remember talking to Andrew, who is the owner, proprietor, and all around. I mean, he's always there, but he's the manager of a pizzeria up by our house in Loganville. And we had developed a friendship with him. Now, he's from Sicily. And I brought him a apron from Rome when I was in Rome. And he's like, oh, that's not where I live. And I said, oh, sorry, Andrew. I was as close as I got, you know. I wasn't going to go over to Sicily, you know, to get you an apron. But I asked Andrew, I says, Andrew, what is the difference between pizza at home where you live and pizza here in the States? He says, oh, Caleb, he says, here is everybody wanting pepperonis and they want a ham and they want a pineapple. They want an everything like, hold this and hold that. They want an everything they want, you know, at home. I say, yeah, you don't like my pizza? You leave. He says, at home, we know, we serve a good pizza. We serving a good pizza. You don't like it? You leave. He says, but you hear you can't do that, you know. And that's the way it is back in Sicily. He says, we serve this a pizza and this a pizza. Which one? no options, you know. But we in America, we love our options. And we've gotten to the place where we've believed that there's optional Christianity. Henry Ford made one of the most successful cars in history, the Model T. And on May 26, 1927, he drove the 15th million Model T off the production floor. It was very notable because that was the last Model T that was ever produced in a Henry Ford factory. Henry Ford is quoted and well known as saying to people, you can have a Ford in any color you would like it, as long as it's what?
Black.
That's right. He says, you don't get an option. He said, we made a production car that is consumer ready, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, our car is ready. It's a good product, and there's no reason to change it. He said, it seems like as soon as you make a really good product, people will say, oh, this could be better if we did this or we did that. He says, I've made a good product. It is what it is, and we're not going to change it. Now, ultimately, he ended up losing market share and realized that people were willing to pay more for another car that came in a color. And he ended up having to change his model in order to make money. Today's world, you can get a car in any way that you want it. I mean, the options are limitless. Here's the base model. Here's the options, and that's just the beginning. We can do anything to this car. We can lower it. We can raise it. We can give you a tow package. We can beef up the engine. We can give you a stronger transmission. I mean, you can do whatever you want. You can even take your whole car, once you get it done, and take it to a mod company, and they can completely transform it into anything that you want it to be. I mean, we are in the day of options. And that mentality has gotten into Christianity. So I want to talk to you about some of the options that are available to you or that people believe to be options in Christianity. So option number one is baptism. Option number one is baptism. In Matthew 28, verse number 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, he says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's why we say when we baptize that you're buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. We get the privilege of having a baptism today at the close of the service and get to see someone follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But this is, for many people in today's world, optional. Take it or leave it. I mean, you're a Christian. And so this idea of baptism has long been debated, and there are some who would say that that baptism is not optional, that it is necessary for salvation. That's called baptismal regeneration. We, of course, do not believe that. Otherwise, the thief on the cross couldn't have gone to heaven because he didn't have time to get baptized. There's many illustrations that you can go to heaven without baptism. Baptismal regeneration is not in the book. And so you say, well, if it's not necessary, then it's optional, right? I mean, it's because we don't have to have it. But you see, you could take, that's the other extreme. You have one extreme that it's required in order to go to heaven. You got to do it. Then you have the other extreme. It's not required at all. Take it or leave it. Doesn't matter. But the fact of the matter is that Christians, if we want to be obedient to God, then it is necessary. It is necessary to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now, the person that's getting baptized today is Brother Sam Keller, Dr. Keller's son. And he's going to get baptized today. Now, Dr. Keller came, and he, a couple weeks ago, talked to me about another point we're going to get to here in a few minutes. And he said, but in order to do that, my son Sam needs to get baptized. He's never been baptized. And so we went a little over a week ago and sat down with Sam and talked to him. And he had a very clear testimony of salvation, knew who it was that led him to the Lord. He remembered the name of his teacher in school that led him to the Lord, and when he professed Jesus Christ and trusted the Lord as his Savior. But baptism, he couldn't quite nail down. And according to the testimony of his father, he hadn't made that decision yet. And his father knew that that was a necessary step, that he needed to do that. And Sam agreed and said he wanted to follow the Lord in baptism. If we're going to be obedient, baptism is required. It could be looked at like an ignition on a car. You see, yes, you can have a car without an ignition, but you will not go anywhere. You can have a car towed and dropped in your front yard that does not have an ignition. The Mills borrowed my car and we were using it. And somebody broke into it down in the city where they live. And they ripped the whole steering column out and ripped the ignition out in order to try and steal it. They ultimately didn't get it. But all that had to be replaced because a car won't go anywhere without an ignition. And you understand your Christian life, baptism is the first step of obedience. It's the first step of obedience. And yes, you can be saved and you can be on your way to heaven without baptism. But baptism is like the ignition. If you want to go somewhere in your Christian life, you've got to start it up. You've got to start the process. And it's almost like the very first step. If somebody is unwilling to take the first step of obedience and follow the Lord publicly in baptism, it's almost like they shut down their Christian life. They hamper their Christian life from being able to go any further, to be able to grow any more, to be able to continue doing what God wants them to do, because that is the first step. And we've got a car, but it's not been started yet. So, option one, a baptism. If you and I want to obey the Lord, we've got to be baptized. It's really not optional. I think we would call it standard equipment, baptism. Then second option number two, is church membership. Church membership. Many people today look at church membership as optional. Take it or leave it. Doesn't matter. We can do, whatever. We can be a Christian and not belong to a local church. There's principles throughout the scriptures. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 47, he says, praise God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. People were added to the church. There was a counting of who was part of the church. Many times, Christ gave us a particular example or a particular number and told us exactly how many were added to the church. 3,000 were saved, baptized, and added to the church. There has to be some measure of, it's not just that they gathered together or that they just happened to show up. How many people were there that day at Pentecost? How many people were around? How many people listened? How many people heard from a distance? But they weren't added. They just heard. They were there. And there was an adding to the church. You know, in the scriptures, Paul many times called members of different churches by names. He says, I salute you. I salute you. I pray for you continually. He called them by name. Why? Because he knew who was part of the church. It's a hard thing for pastors today to try and figure out who's part of the church sometimes. And I praise God that we don't necessarily have that problem here, but I want to put it in your mind that that is not optional equipment. That's standard equipment in Christianity today. We need to be a member of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And I believe that that probably is going to have the name Baptist on the front. Not necessarily, but more likely that it'll have the name Baptist. You want to be one that's preaching and teaching the Bible. Church membership could be likened unto a steering wheel. You could have a car without a steering wheel. You could even get it started, but it's not real effective. It lacks direction. And you understand the Christian life, we need direction. Church membership, being a part of a good church that's teaching and preaching the Bible, gives us direction in our lives. The preaching of the Word of God feeds our spirit and guides us in this Christian life. What should we do about this? What should we do about that? What does the Bible say in this area or in that area? And we learn through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. I count it a great privilege and an awesome responsibility to shape your thinking, to help you hopefully think biblically on matters. And I don't take that responsibility lightly. And I believe that it's an amazing privilege that God has given me to be able to take the Word of God and try and get your mind and my mind to line up with the Word of God. That's what a church does, a church that's preaching and teaching the Word of God. Gets us lined up with that. So, you can have a car without a steering wheel, but it lacks direction. And a Christian without a church lacks direction. And it's evident in their life. They don't have an outlet for service. They don't have accountability for Christianity. And membership implies accountability, and membership implies responsibility. And that's why a lot of times people don't want to take membership, because of the accountability and the responsibility that might come with that. So another piece of optional equipment is church attendance, being in church, being present, being counted for. And I don't just mean on Sunday morning. I'm talking about Sunday night and Thursday night. Hey, we can take it or leave it. We can do what we want. We can be present. We can skip Sunday school. It doesn't matter. We can be there for Sunday morning. It's okay. We can be there for Sunday night and not be there for Sunday school. We can just, hey, as long as we get one mass a week, we're good, right? They're all different. And a Christian that wants to grow understands that this is not optional as a Christian. We have looked at this in recent days. And he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are to be, whenever the church gathers together, we're to be there. We're to be a part of it. We are to participate in the ministry. To say that we're under grace does not make us less accountable, but more accountable. God ordained three institutions: the home, the government, and church. It's a God-ordained institution that he said not to forsake. So is it optional? Do we get to just decide what we want to partake of and what we don't? Or should we follow God? And it's getting really quiet in here. I'm just trying to tell, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I mean, you know, don't get mad at the messenger. Everyone knows how much church attendance helps your walk with God. I hear it all the time. Pastor, I've been out of church for 3 or 4 weeks, and man, I can just feel it. I just feel I got to get back in church. I've been missing. And they know that. You understand the devil is going to try and do all he can to keep you from being in church? Because he understands the direction it gives you in your life. He understands the purpose it gives you and the strength it gives you in your Christian life. So he's going to do all he can to stop you from going to church. And when you yield to him and don't go to church, the devil won. We are giving in to the devil when we believe this. I'm convinced today that most believers look at church as optional. Sunday AM is like heat and AC. Man, it feels good when you get it, right? My car does not have AC. Friday night, we went on an activity, and my team was in the church van, and we had air conditioning. My wife's team was in my car that does not have air conditioning. And at our first stop, we got out, and, you know, we were geocaching, if you know what that is. We're world's largest scavenger hunt, and we were searching for these geocaches around, and we were timed. You got to hurry, right? So we're getting out of the car, and we're running to search for these things. And you might have to run up in the woods or come back, you know, whatever. And we got out of the car, and we're all refreshed because of the air conditioning. And the people that got out of my wife's car were sweating profusely. And Lawrence said, man, it's nice to have AC. He was on my team. You know, it feels good when you get it, right? That's how many people look at Sunday morning. Man, it feels good when I can get it. I just feel refreshed. I just feel strengthened. And it's so nice to have it when I have it. You know, Sunday night is maybe looked at like wipers. You only need that when it's raining. Most of the time you don't need Sunday night, but when it's raining, yeah, we need that. We need to get there. We need Sunday night because we're in the middle of a storm. Or prayer meeting, like a spare tire. Most of my Christian life, I don't need prayer meeting. Only in an emergency. Only when things are really bad and I need the brethren to be praying for me. Then I'm going to need that midweek service, that prayer meeting. But what we really ought to look at church-like is like the gas station. It's not really optional if you want to keep moving forward. You need to get filled up with gas. You can't just keep going. You can't just keep going and going and going. At some point, you got to be refueled. You got to be strengthened. You got to be gassed up. You got to be recharged. And that's what church does for you. Yes, you can be a Christian. You can have the name of Christ and not be faithful to church. But you won't go very far. You won't go very far because we need to be refueled. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. You know as well as I do, the car will not continue without gas. You know, they have the little meters now that say miles till empty. I know that my car will go 33 miles after it says zero. After it says 0 miles till empty, I know I can make it 33 miles. I have not found for sure how far it'll go because I have yet to run out. But I know that if I'm at my house in York and it says 0 miles till empty and I know when it turned, I know I can make it to the church. Because I have done that more than once on zero. But ultimately, it's going to run out. And as a Christian, if we're not recharged and refueled, ultimately we will run out. we'll stop moving forward. Option number four. You're going to like this one. Did he put it up there already? Giving. Giving. Option number four, giving. Whether that's giving of yourself or giving of your finances, but option number four is giving. Many people feel that, well, I'm a Christian. Giving is not required under the law. Giving is not required under grace, whatever explanation. It's amazing how many different ways people look at this idea and try and explain it away, try and define it in some terms that make it something more palatable to them. The Bible says in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out unto out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know, some would look at this as optional, it's not required. Some say, well, that was part of the law, or it's not part of the law, or we're under grace. Many ways that they want to describe it. Some people look at giving in church like the man who got saved, and for years he had been cheating the IRS. And he got saved, and the Holy Spirit started to convict his heart about all that money that he took from the IRS. So he wrote the IRS a letter and explained that he had gotten saved and that the Holy Spirit was convicting him about this money and he wanted to make it right. And so he said, please find enclosed $100. If the Holy Spirit's still bothering me, I'll send you the rest. He knows what was expected. He knows what he was supposed to do, but he was just trying to get by, you know, just to appease his conscience. If he could just, you know, maybe if I give him $100, the Lord will leave me alone. And some people, they look at giving to the church that way. You know, God says a tithe. The tithe is a tenth. And to me, it's not that hard because I've done it my whole life. I've never known anything different. And to be honest with you, I don't miss it. And I believe I'm blessed beyond measure because I do it. But some people think, oh, well, God, I'll give you this on Sunday. Hopefully you won't bother me. I'll tip you. Instead of tithe, they tip. They just give a little bit here and a little bit there. Or maybe if there's a special project at church, oh, that makes me feel good to give towards that. We're going to buy, you know, toys for the nursery. Everybody loves doing stuff for the kids. And hey, amen, that's great. We've got to do that too. I'll give towards that. They'll give towards that, but they're not tithing. Tithing is not optional. He said, bring ye. If we're going to follow the biblical mandate, it's not optional. We could look at tithing like tires on your car. Not the most beautiful part of the car. Not necessarily the most important, but essential to keep moving. Essential to keep going forward for God. So giving, optional. Option number four. This is our option list. You know, you go to the car and it's on the window there. It's this car and then all the options that come with it. Yeah. Option number five, walking with God. A personal relationship with God. A daily time in which we look at the Word, which we let God speak to our heart, which we are challenged spiritually by the Holy Spirit of God through His Word. The psalmist said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Do you ever feel like that, where there's just, you're dry and you're thirsty for spiritual food? You're longing to be with God. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This is personal. Many people say, well, this is personal. It's just between me and God. You're right. It's personal. It's between you and God. But here's the question. Should it be the option that you want or the option that God wants? As a Christian, it ought to be what God wants. And God longs to be with you. God longs for a time where he can influence you, where he can speak to you, where he can tap on your heart's door and say, hey, you need to be stronger here. Hey, you're letting it slip here. Hey, you need to be faithful here. You're not loving the way you should. You're not helping in the home the way you should. You're not, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and he strengthens you and gives you what you need. It's the option that God wants, and we should desire it as well. I believe with my whole heart that this is one of the most critical components of the Christian life, yet it is the most neglected. In Christianity today, I believe most people, even people that got baptized and became a member and they come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Thursday night and they walk through the doors for every service, they neglect this. This is optional Christianity because this is not what people see. And I've got to the place where I do what's expected of me in front of people, but I can live without the private. But you really can't. Not if you want to continue being a Christian. Continue to be what God wants you to be. This really could be looked at like preventive maintenance on a car. Preventive maintenance. Yes, you can have a car, and you can run it without ever doing anything to it. But you know as well as I do that at some point, you're going to be stuck on the side of the road. Because it takes preventive maintenance. It takes filling up the fluids, replacing the fluids, putting new fluid in there, getting it refreshed. It takes getting it cleaned once in a while. Don't let all that mud and stuff build up in the shocks and the lower end of the car. I got to wash all that salt off in the wintertime. I got to get that stuff off of there because it's going to tear up the underbody of the car and it's going to rust through. You get some things built up in your life you got to wash out from time to time. You get some things there that need to be cleaned out. You need the Spirit of God and the Word of God to wash you and to make you clean. You got to do some preventive maintenance. Carrying around some extra luggage, you got to get unloaded. Got to get refreshed with some new fluid. The Bible calls it fresh oil. Having some fresh oil. It's in the Scriptures. You want some fresh oil? Your car needs fresh oil. Well, you need fresh oil. The oil is the Spirit of God. Jack Hiles preached a message many, many years ago called Fresh Oil. It's one of the ones he's most well known for, Fresh Oil. You got to have it. You got to do that preventive maintenance. Otherwise, the car is going to fail. The Christianity is going to falter. You're going to end up not making it to the end of your life. You're not going to run your race. You're not going to finish your course because you didn't keep up with some preventive maintenance. You're right, you don't absolutely have to change the oil in your car. But at some point, your car is going to quit moving. So what I'm trying to get you to see is that the Christian life is a package deal. You need it all. It's not just optional. And I think we might could go down the list and maybe add a few more things that maybe in your mind you've looked at and said, is this optional? But if we're going to succeed in this Christian life, yes, you can be saved. You can be on your way to heaven and claim the name of Christ. But if we're going to be a successful Christian and accomplish things for God and move forward in our Christian life, then we need these things. It is necessary. If we're going to work and walk like we're supposed to, we need all of it. We can't just pick and choose the options that we like and forget the rest. So let's get back to biblical Christianity, the one that God ordained, not the one that we put on order. optional Christianity. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today and for this simple study. Lord, the thoughts that really maybe kind of drive home to our heart the truths of how important these options are and how they build us and strengthen us and enable us to be what you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you would give us a great time in your house this morning. May we be strengthened and fed from the word of God. May you encourage every heart present and draw every lost man to you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.